Well, we're back in our teaching this morning. We're going to talk again about in the areas we're going to talk about in due season. And God has been dealing with me. I talked before about the fact of when I was first got born again, I had this vision God gave me because I asked. You know, I'm intrigued about God. You know, people many times, we have sayings that we do in Christianity that are true, but they more or less get said with no thought behind them. And we need to understand that the value of truth. You know, when Jesus said he didn't say anything the Father didn't say, so he must have given thought about what he was saying. Jesus didn't just throw cliches out there of religion. They were truth imparted to people, and we need to do the same thing. And it's one of the things that I was always interested in, because people talk about God, and they talk about God knowing everything. And to me, that from the time I got born again, I don't know why, those things stuck out to me, and I often thought about, what if God knows everything? Well, what about, and people came along, and they'd say, well, God's in control of everything. And I would start piecing things together, and I'd start, it don't make sense. Things don't make sense. People are saying stuff that don't make sense. Because if you take these things and you put them together, there's no logic in them. They talk about, we have free will, yet God's in control of everything. And it's like, Christianity to me was a great confusion. It was a great contradiction. But I found out the Bible doesn't contradict. It's the preaching of men. Men preach things that are contradicting. They say one thing, God's in control, then tell you, you got a free will whether you're going to accept Christ. Well, no wonder Calvin came up with the idea that, you know, some are going to get saved and some ain't, and that God chooses whom he chooses. And, you know, good luck if you weren't one of them, too bad. You know, I can see how they did it because of the things that were taught. And I'm always interested in the fact, I've always been the time of beginning. And when I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I went to the Lord about the thing. My whole point was, when I had that vision, was the fact that, God, you know everything, and you created all this and did all this. And to me, things look like pretty much of a mess out here. What did you do this for? What is it? You knew people would fall. You knew people wouldn't follow. Before you created us, he had to know. Even though he gives us free choice, he knows the choice that people will make. He doesn't choose it. He knows. And see, we don't know how to handle that kind of thinking. We don't know how to handle that because we're people who love control. We want to control everything. We want it to be that we're in control of everything. God's in control. That's what we're trying to do. And the church loses sight of the greatness of God. Because God knows everything doesn't mean he made the decision for everything. And we need to get that. That's a thing that we need to become and get straight at in dealing with due season. Because when I would read through scriptures and I would, you know, always look at things as, why didn't God get involved earlier in this thing? What it is? But yet the Bible talks about due season, and the words due season or due time, some translations translate it in which it's correct, right time, the right time. And I'm thinking, boy, the right time didn't seem right to me. You know? Didn't you ever have something you were believing God for and you thought, man, I wish that had showed up sooner? You ever been there? Why? I was standing in faith and I knew I was believing God, you know, I was believing God, but yet it took a long time, you know. I had, you know, in one instances where it was believing for a new car and stood, and I just had the greatest sense it was supposed to come the 1 year. It didn't come till the next year. And then I found out it was because the person who gave me the car told me that God spoke to him the year before, but they didn't do it. Yet I had a sense, but that car did not come. Even though I'm standing in faith, God is moving. Now that doesn't mean he couldn't have bought it through somebody else. I don't know if he could. Maybe other people wouldn't listen. See, we need to understand that. I want us to look as we go into this to look at this subject, because I want, in a sense, it's almost like playing a chess or something like that, where God determined what he was going to do based on what man was going to do. See, man in the earth, we need to understand this, that when God, his purpose, what was he doing? Was he creating man? People say, well, God wanted a family. I'm going to tell you what, that ain't what God told me when he talked about why he created man. He said man was his key to put sin away forever. It's bigger than a family. You minimize God when men turn around and start, see, wow, we have this thing. Well, you know, in our society, well, we teach today that, you know, the most important thing in our society should be the family. That's what Christians say. Oh, that's the basis of everything. I'm sorry, God's the basis of everything. Get over yourself. We need to get in the light. You know, I decided that this is one thing. I have to understand some things about how God thinks, or I'll try to form my own religion. People do it all the time. They're trying to reform their own religion, their own idea of how God is. And I realized there's things that we need to know. And let me just say this. You know, how many people, I was born in 1950. I remember the 50s. And I remember, you know, the church world in that time when I was in a church. One of the big things in the church world was they thought Jesus was coming back. In the 50s, that was biggie. Back during the healing revivals of the 50s, they thought that was the end of things. This is, Jesus is coming. Well, did they hit it? Well, how'd they miss it? How did they miss it? Well, just the same as we miss it. We remember, hey, in the late 80s and 90s, boy, all the books and stuff and things were written. I'm going to tell you, Jesus has come back, all this stuff. And all, loads of it was wrong. Loads of it was not right. How did it happen? Well, see, I want to know. I don't think it was bad people. I don't think they were crazy people. There should be a desire in Christians, according to Scripture, that Jesus comes back. There's supposed to be a desire in us for that. But we need to understand there's a lot about God that you cannot know without the Scripture, without the Spirit, because the Scripture's not clear. The Scripture don't tell us exactly. You need the Spirit to understand. And this is where the problem goes. We try to form our own ideas and opinions on things, I think, is where it goes. And we try to sort of like, we can see certain things in an event. I remember back in if you go back to the Second World War period, the church was thinking Jesus was going to return because they had two guys that a lot of people picked to be the Antichrist, was Hitler and Mussolini. And Brother Hagin had picked Mussolini, and he said, I gave that up for a bad job. He said, I never tried. He said, I thought he was going to be the Antichrist. What the church saw was the Antichrist spirit in operation through people, which we saw in President Obama. Obama operated under the spirit, that spirit. And that spirit's operating in our government today. That spirit is running in our government. But see, people get a sense of these things, and then we start prediction. We start calling shots without God's knowledge. Without God's knowledge, we try to call the shots. We start saying, well, you know, this is when it is, or this is going to happen. And it don't come along. And there's one thing, as God's been dealing with me, the church needs to get a little more accuracy. We're trying to present truth to a world, and we're inaccurate. It's like, hold it. God will back up truth. God will back up truth. You know, we don't have to try to predict everything, but we need to know, what is God doing? We need to understand, when God is talking about the right time, or the right, whatever it is, whether he's saying due season or due time, When is it really? Because sometimes it isn't the way you think. You know, if I look at the books that were written and that stuff into the 80s and into the 90s about the end times, it's funny because if you take Kenneth Hagin's prophecy in 1950, talked to Jesus, said before things get to their worst, he was going to come back. Well, their books didn't speak in that manner. They talk like things were going to get great. And the church, this is going to be this glorious, and then boom. I think they saw one side of things, but that's all they talked is one side. They only talked with it. You know, God wants to bring some clarity to some things. And we need to understand the things of due season, because I'm just going to tell you and be honest with you. If you don't, you can't be patient. You can't wait. There has to be, look, the Word of God and faith in the Word of God is the anchor that holds us, our hope in Christ. It's the anchor of our soul. It's to maintain us. So there's things we have to understand, and I realize, and God started to deal with me about this because he kept bringing to me about what he said, showed me in that vision back yonder about dealing with time and his purpose of what he's doing. And we need to really get over and get some clarity into these areas, because we're living, I believe, at an end of an age, but we need to be more clear about what we do in this time. What are we doing? There's things all over the place. You know, the church is sitting around and waiting for a move of God, but I can tell us they're not doing what the Bible says to do. Well, you can sit and pray and ask for something, God, to move all you want, but if you're not doing what you already know to do, just you're wasting your breath. You're wasting your time. We need to understand that we need to grasp these things of what we're supposed to do right now. And really, what God wants to do in a move is tied to doing what he said to do. That's what it's tied to. It's not tied to this great event down there. We keep pushing to an event down the road. We keep pushing down to this place, trying to find this time. But see, if we look just like with the birth of Christ, how did the Jews miss it so bad? How did they blow it so bad as a nation? How did they blow it so bad when they got over? Well, they got over the things. They got over into all their smarts. See, we're smart, you know, we can figure things out, and we know. Even though they're sitting around in a time period looking for the Messiah. Well, I mean, this wasn't the first looking for Messiah. They'd been looking for the Messiah for a long time. But didn't know. Yet there were some people who did. The things that always startled me is, how did the Magi know? These guys aren't under the covenant. These guys, they called in that time magicians, but they weren't like a magician like David Copperfield or something like that. They didn't. These guys were over in the areas of dealing with demon spirits and stuff like that. Yet they knew there was a king born, was going to be the king of Israel. Israel didn't know, but they did. How come? How come? You know, I'm going to tell you, whether people like to hear it today or not, there are sinners who are not born again, I think, are more in contact with the age they're living than the church is. Because they know something's up. They know. And the church walks around doing the same, acting the same old way they did 30 years ago, just dumb as a stick. We need to stop and say, hey, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. We need to be, really, the church. We need to be the spiritual forefront of the time we're in. The church needs to be. We need to be the spiritual forefront of this thing. Man, I don't want the Magi to have to come and tell us what's going on. I don't want to be there. But they came and they knew. You see, God, and I want you to get a hold of this about God. God, every decision he's ever going to make has already been made. It's not going to be made. There's no decisions he's going to make. They're already made. God knows everything. I used a scripture last week, and I'll read it again. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there's none other, no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Our God, we need to understand this. Before anything that we have, and we'll read some scriptures here, anything was ever done. We talked about this before. God already knew the outcome of everything. He knows everything. He knows every thought you'll ever have in your whole lifetime here on earth. He knows everything. There's nothing hidden from him. Every decision that God will be, God knows everything that you'd ever stand in faith and trust him for before you were ever born. He knew everything about your life. He knew everything you'd do. If he didn't, he ain't God. See, we need to understand this. God made all the decisions that he was going to make, and it's based upon this, but also he moved us into this category. Gave us the Holy Spirit. God made all of his decisions based on foreknowledge. What he knew would happen. He knew outcome. He knew every decision that you'd make. And in those things, God knew what already beforehand, before you were born, what he was going to have to do to fulfill, if he was going to be able to fulfill his will in your life, what, how much of he's going to be able to do was going to be determined by you. It's just like a chessboard. You get out there, you make a move, then God made a move. God's moves were not based. We have this idea that God pre-made a move. He didn't pre-make a move. He knew what move you were going to make and what he was going to have to do if he was going to carry certain things out. It was based on your move. If God was going to deal with sin in this earth, God has laws and rules, and he must follow them. He must follow the rules. Those rules were not started when he created the earth. Those rules were from the beginning or whatever. When we look back, he always existed. The spirit realm operates under rules. And if you don't learn the rules of the spirit realm, you're just going to have a hard time dealing with anything spiritually. Much of the church world doesn't know a lot about the rules. They think God can just do what he wants. He doesn't do what he wants. He just can't do what he wants. God is not lawless. And he's not a lawbreaker. He does not make rules and break them. Yet most Christians say, well, God can do anything he wants. He can just do anything. Like Kenneth Hagin said one time, a guy said to him, God can do anything he wants. And the Spirit of God spoke to Brother Hagin and said, well, if God can do anything he wants, why can't he make you tithe? And he said, the guy got quiet and walked away. God does not force you to do things. God moves in our lives based on fact of moves. Even moves that he knows that you'll make, God knows what he's going to do. What he'll be able to do. Now, God's like, in his kindness and mercy, he's phenomenal. He's always trying to search a way to bless. And he's always known that from times past. You will not do anything in your life that will ever surprise him. Not one thing. That he didn't know was already going to happen. And see, some people look at it and say, I don't like that. I love that. Why? I can trust him. He knows everything. I can always put my faith in him. I can't put my faith in somebody who I don't know what his decision might be later on. You have no basis of faith in God if you don't know what his, if you don't know, he's gonna change the rules on you. All of a sudden, we're gonna have a change of rules. That's why Congress can't rule, can't work, because they're always changing their rules and how they do stuff. You can't count on none of them. Because they'll change. It's man. But our God changes not. That's our security. That's the security of Christianity and our faith. People are trying to get God to change all the time and don't realize that their security is in the fact that he won't change even for you. That's your security. If he will make a change, well, then you don't ever know when he'd make another change. If he'll make a change for you, well, when is he going to change and then for you and then don't follow what you are standing and believing him for the next time? You want it to stay the same because you know where your faith will be maintained all the time where I can stand. It's secure. And especially in this day and age, man, there's a need. One of the, loads of people, the fear that runs in our nation and fear runs is because the insecurity of people. Satan is bringing fear into the earth and people are afraid because there's no security in nothing. We should be the most secure people in this nation and in this world. The Christian should be, is the fact of our security, is the fact that we have a God who's going to do what he said he would do, and he will not change. We can count on him. He will always follow what is right and true. In his word, the wonderful thing about his word is I found this out. The Word lays out his principles of how he operates. From Genesis, they haven't changed. The law never changed how God operates. It isn't the New Testament, now God don't operate the same. The same laws that always govern from the beginning are the same laws that govern the spirit realm right now. Praise God, we got born again. We should be able to follow the rules easier than anybody. Should be the simplest for us. Because we're people of the Spirit. That's who we are. And so we have the Spirit of God in us. But our God and His knowledge, He had sat down and looked at mankind and He was going to put mankind in the earth. And man, He said, is my key to put away sin forever. There will be a day come when sin will never have effect in our creation of anything at all. Never from the realm of the spirit or even in the new physical realm. on both realms. See, sin entered in. Sin happened in the realm of the spirit, but it affected the physical realm. There's two realms. See, I often wonder why God made the physical realm. Why did he make the physical realm? I'm going to tell you why. It don't say in the Bible, but I know what he told me. He said, I did. I made the physical realm so I could get Satan and deal with him in that realm. And the physical realm is where he's going to deal with Satan, and that's what he's done. See, God has wisdom that is beyond the comparison of what man can ever think. You could take all the angels, all the humans, and every spirit there ever is and put together and try to get a mind together to figure out how God was going to bring about redemption, and nobody would have ever been close. It came and no one expected it, and nobody expected it the way that it came. And here's the whole thing. God did it through foreknowledge. He knew every play that the devil would do. He knew every play that man would do. And he knew exactly what he needed to do. I'm going to tell you, God's plan to bring about the right time for things, I can't even fathom in my little pea brain of how he got to knew when to do things at the right time to make this whole redemption thing work out. My mind goes tilt. Now we're talking about a chess game that would take 400 billion moves to play. You know, it's like Satan couldn't see it coming. Nobody in the spirit realm other than of God revealed to man. And God amazingly revealed to man things about the redemption the whole time down through. Was showing man. The whole time down through. The whole time he's giving man glimpses of this redemption, he's putting hope in man all the time. He's out there putting hope in people, showing all down through the ages to this thing to come. But it is funny, as this stuff comes along, how unaware people were, even though they had it. It isn't like this is a huge book that you can't, it isn't like this is 400 volumes that you have to study. And within it had all kind of information about this time. But you know what men were doing? Trying to pick it up without God. Men were trying to figure it out instead of relying on the Spirit to teach them and show them. Just like in our age, people are not yielding to the Spirit that's in them. The Holy Spirit's been in here. God's Spirit has been in this earth time to bring revelation to man in his time so man can understand. You know, there's a guy named Simeon. How does he get a hold of God? I mean, the scribes and Pharisees, they're the word people of the day. They're the word people. And I'm, oh, the word, yeah, standing on the word. And the Messiah comes and some magi come. And you know what? God can't show a sinner anything. Why would he show them something? They're coming to find the, yeah, we even know the town the Messiah is going to be born in. But they missed the whole thing. And you know what? They killed him. They became the devil's helpers. It's amazing. Now God wasn't, you know, Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. Even they were on the side of putting him on the cross, he died for them. God set this whole thing in motion. His brilliance is incredible. If anything we should trust is God. And one thing we're going to have to learn is have faith in what don't make sense. The right time. Say, God, it don't seem like it was the right time. Why did you do this or why did you do that? We get questioning over those things instead of trusting in his brilliance. His brilliance. I can trust him. If he does something, there's purpose. Now, what I need to do, I need to fulfill his purpose. That's what I need to do. I need to follow his purpose. Might not make sense. Why do it this way? Why do it that way? You know, I've had already, you know, the Spirit of God come on me and told me to say something to an individual on a number of occasions. Things that just didn't make any sense. And I struggled terrible with it. I thought, why would I say that? It don't even make good sense. And so you get in your mind, and you know your mind right away saying, this can't be God, because why? There's no reasoning to it. Saying something that don't make a bit of sense. But finally gave up on it and said it to the person, and they were like, how did you know that? I said, know what? I mean, to me, that sounded just dumb as could be. But it spoke to them about a certain thing. See, the brilliance of God. Do we ever think, you know, didn't it ever Didn't it ever make you think when you sit down and read the scripture and Jesus is out there talking to the multitude and he's done, he says to the disciples, I speak in parables so they don't understand. Well, I thought Jesus wanted everybody to understand what he's saying. Well, that's what we're taught. I thought he came in due season. It's like, see, those things don't make sense. They're not make natural sense to us. But there's one thing I learned from Mel Piper, who was instructor at Rhema, was probably one of my favorite, well, probably on the top two or three teachers that I've ever sat under in my life. But he always said this, you always stay with God. He said, it might not make sense to you, but you always stick with God. God's always right. God is always right. You're not. And it's getting stuck over in that place. See, many people today, the church is questioning about God instead of questioning their self and their unbelief. They're questioning. The church is. I understand the world questions. But we got to come to the place of His greatness and His wisdom. That man, if He said it and He did this for a purpose, He knew what He was doing. He saw every side of it. You don't. You don't. See, many times we're not asking, even about people. We don't pray. We tell God what we want Him to do for somebody without ever asking God about that person. God, what can you do there? Where can you hook up? We don't. We just bypass everything and throw our will right out there on that, not bypassing His wisdom. I don't know anybody generally well enough, you know, lots of times of what to do. You need to stop. God, where are you in this thing? You know, it's just like I learned dealing with people with death. I've had a couple number of times where God said to me that a person wasn't going to get healed, a Christian. He said, get them ready to leave. Well, what if I'd have just went on and we just went through the old prayer thing and just keep praying for them to be healed and they're going to die anyhow and never did get them ready. God wanted them ready to go. And we ain't getting them ready to go. We're following our will and our plan and our purposes and that stuff. God, we need to understand, He deals with some of these things in time with people. He knows everything about everybody. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about, how can I be? He'll always do His best to do His best for a person. Many times He can't do His perfect best for individuals, but He'll always try to do something for them. We need to learn to hook up to try to be a part of that, of where He can bless the most with an individual. But lots of time we don't. We're trying, we want God's perfect will when a person isn't even in a place to get God's perfect will. They're not in a place to do it. And we're trying to push it and trying to push it and saying, stop. God, show me. Where can I do my best? Where can I help you the best for this person? We talk about led by the Spirit. Yeah, that's something that we do over here when we just run out of us. It's like, no, we ought to get there first in this thing. Because He has seen this event come to this point. He knows it. He knows every intricacy of each individual, of what's going on. He knows it all. God, where does it fit? You know, I think He would find such great pleasure in the fact that we would become more interested in where He is on things. I think He would become, He's just waiting for the church to come over and say, their interest. God, what do you want? See, the faith people sort of carried it out too far. We went to the things because there was a ridiculous things in the church. Well, it'll just be what it is, you know. God's just doing what He's doing. Whatever. To where we came along with faith people. And then the faith people try to use faith to control everything. And without God's involvement. And we're dealing with other people. You just can't use your faith and push whatever you want on somebody else. I believe, and I found this over the years, I had much greater success when I got God involved and got something done. Rather than getting nothing done. Then rather say, well, we were praying, believing, and they died. Mark, well, let's do it the same the next time. Why? Why don't we stop and say, God, where are we at in this stuff? God, how can we best help people? I've seen people have glorious homecomings where God told me, just get them ready to die. And had glorious homegoings. And you know what? They were just as happy and just as at rest and going to be with God. My word. See, God will do anything He can, as best as He can work. He's always trying to do something good, and He's waiting for us to come over and say, you know, you're the know-it-all in this thing, and I'm not. You know what's going on here in this. God, I want your wisdom and help in this thing because I want to help and bless in this person. I want to know. What do I need to pray in this? Where is this person at? See, sometimes a person's not at the place. Sometimes the people praying for them are in less faith than the person who's in the position. It would be good to find some things out. But you want to help as best you can. God is always in the help business. He is always, when he looked down through time, he has already decided what he'd like to do to help. Sometimes we have made the move where he knows he's not going to be able to do what he can to help. Because he already knows our move. The church today needs to back up some. You know, there's sort of a middle of the road to some of this stuff that people have done concerning faith. Faith has gotten out a little bit times out, a little more in extreme. And just like with the people over here on this side of the road, God's taking care of running everything. There's two extremes over here, but there's a middle of the road, and it's the road of blessing. And we want to get on that road. God's, sometimes it don't seem. You know, when I look here, we're celebrating Christmas time, the birth of Christ. I often think, man, you sent Jesus at a really rotten time in history. You know, wouldn't it have been better if it was a little bit more restful and a little bit more of this or that? You know what? I don't know everything. Why? But the Bible says he did it at the right time. That's what the Bible says. That's what the scripture says, you know. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The fullness of time. That can fully be translated in the right time. That word, fullness time, he's right. At the right time. God sent him at the right time. Might not make sense to us. We would have picked a better season, you know. We would have picked a better place. You know, God picked Jesus to be born in that stable. He picked that. God picked to bring the Messiah in a very humble situation. He didn't bring him into a king situation. In fact, the only ones that recognized him for the king that he was were Magi from today, which was Persia. Today's Iran. Oh, I mean, imagine. Here's God. He sets this whole thing up. Why? How come men didn't know what God was doing? One thing I know this, it wasn't the will of God for man not to know. That was man's choice. Man made the move not to know by what they did. They made the move. It wasn't God. God didn't decide it. God was revealing. Because we know there's a guy, Simeon, in the temple. When they brought Jesus in after he was born to be circumcised, he knew it. There was Anna, the prophet there. She prophesied over, knew who he was. There's people who knew who he was. God went out there, could get shepherd out there in the field. Down in Jerusalem, he can't get the guys running the temple. He can't get the religious people today. He can't get the guys that are all supposed to know. He can't reach them. See, I don't want to go there. I don't want to arrive at that place. I want to know what God's doing in the time and things that he's doing. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In due time. Now don't you think he should have done that a long time ago before that? Why'd you wait so long? Why'd you wait so long? I mean, you think about it. The flood came, Noah's flood came, I think it was around 1600, and I think they say there's anywhere between 650 some to 680 some years. There's discrepancies they have on that stuff. But none of these calendars, none of this stuff is completely accurate on these things. But one thing we do know this, till Noah's death was about 2,000 years. After the flood, Noah lived 350, after that was about 2,000 years. There was 2,000 years till the Messiah comes. And here we sit. 2,000 year marker on the other side of it. 6 days. We're heading. See, and we're on this. So, I mean, God set this thing up. He's working. You know, we would look from a time period. Why weren't these things done soon? Why 4,000 years of humanity? Why didn't God move and do something that he had to destroy everybody by flood? Why didn't, you know, we could sit, but all this came in due time. It was the right season. God did it. Don't make sense to us. But see, men will get questioning. Well, see, you can't have faith in God and question his brilliance of who he is. This is one thing, as I will say, of people of years past. They didn't, like the people that say that I grew up under in Christianity, They didn't know near the things that I know today about the scripture. But I want to tell you what. They stuck with God. You couldn't have pried them with a crowbar away from God. And today, the spirit-filled people, you don't need a crowbar to pry them away. They'll follow off after anything you can think of. Somebody comes up with a new idea. No, I'm going back to the old ideas. I want to be just like them. Even if I don't understand, you cannot move me away from God. You can't move me away from trusting in Him. I have no place else to go. I don't see if there's anything. I don't think there's anything else out there. What is there out there that's going to take the place of it? And so that's where we want to be. It isn't by brilliance that we do this. It requires us to have faith in this one who we call God. He said He knows everything. But we really don't treat Him like He knows everything. And we don't go to Him like He knows everything. Like, He's the one that knows everything, so if I need to know something I don't know, He'd be the guy to go to, wouldn't it? Because He knows it all. And so we want to get and walk in that place. Paul wrote to Timothy saying about him, he said, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In other words, to testify, to preach. In other words, the preaching came at a due time about the Messiah. All of these things fall into place on time set by God. And say, well, we can come up with our ideas of why we think, but this is God's movement. Now, I want you to see this. We're going to turn to Ephesians, familiar scriptures in Ephesians, the first chapter, where it talks about God. This is, and we're laying this foundation about, I want you to have such confidence in God that you're just so set that whatever we're doing or whatever is going on, whatever we're in this time, God's a genius. He's your God. He's your Father. Hallelujah. He knows everything. He is doing everything that you could have possibly ever imagined or think to bring blessing to your life. There is nothing left out. He has not figured along the way some way He can trip you up. He has not decided along the way. If something comes along with us, even you can be walking along by faith and following the best you know, and sometimes things don't go right. I'll tell you, Wanda and I this year have had more stuff come against us this year. But I'll tell you what, I am so confident in God. I'll tell you, I am so confident in God. It's like going along, I am not moved at all. I am not moved by it. I don't care what's going on. Hallelujah. If I know that anybody wants to bless me, I know who it is on the top of the list, and it ain't you guys. Although you guys have sure blessed my life. But there's nothing like my God. You know, if you've done any good thing, it's because of Him working in you to begin with. So we ain't going to give you the credit for it anyway. It's His. It's what He's done in you. It's what He has brought to pass through His great brilliance. And He opens up in Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 3, I'm going to start reading. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. That's exciting in itself. He says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, they use the word foundation there. That word, really, we take as a foundation as something that was laid. But actually, that word deals with conception or something conceived. Now, he said, in other words, like saying a woman, when she conceives a child, that's just when she has the child. The child's conceived. That's when the egg and the sperm get together. And the pregnancy, that's just the start of it. Now, he said before the conception, before you were ever conceived, you were chosen in Him. Why? Were you chosen because He picked certain people? No. He knew, because of foreknowledge, that you were going to accept Jesus. He knew it. He can't help know it. He's God. He knew the gospel was going to come to you and you were going to accept it. He knew there's people. He's going to hand them the gospel. They ain't going to want it. He can't help it. He knows everything. See, we sort of don't like that kind of thing. That's hard on finite people. That's where we are. We're living in this flesh. We got to admit there's a real finite thing about us. Even though we get as spiritual as we want to be, we're always fighting that finite part of us, aren't we? That's a, And people don't like that. So now we got to try to think, well, you know, that he chose me, I was chosen, somebody else wasn't chosen. No. What he's talking about here is the people who accept him, they're chosen for a specific purpose. They're chosen for different things. Here's what he says. These ones, you were chosen in him. He said, before the foundation, before the conceiving of the earth, before it was ever even conceived. In other words, we would think of it this way. You can't really, it's not really accurate toward God because he didn't all of a sudden come with original thought, decided this. It was already set. But it would be like us thinking before the idea ever came up. You know, it's like if you went to build a house, before you had the idea you ever even wanted to build one, that's when the plan was already set. Well, see, that's just really weird to us, isn't it? Say, well, hold on. But that's what God's saying here. God's telling us, Paul wrote this. So Paul had some idea about this God of his to make that statement. You were chosen in this one. Why? That you should be holy and without blame before him in love. Then he goes on, having predestined us to the adoption as son by Jesus Christ to himself. Now we were adopted. He did this adoption. He did this. Because he saw something. This is everybody who accepts Jesus is appointed to this exact same thing. Everybody who heard the gospel, even though he knew before the earth was conceived, before that thought ever came, he already knew. I mean, see, it's hard to talk these things because you can't, all we have is human terms to tell it in. If I spoke it in tongues, I think I could get it out. But I wouldn't know how to interpret it. Because there's not words on this side to interpret this God. You can't do it. That's why we pray in tongues and things. We're supposed to pray in tongues because we can speak outside of our limited language here in the earth and our limited thought life. The Holy Spirit can operate through us to say things that are eternal. And speaking directly out of the mind of God. Can you imagine? When you're praying in tongues, I've never heard that. In fact, that's the first I've ever said that. That when you're speaking in tongues, it just came out of me. You're speaking out of the mind of God. The Holy Spirit speaking. You're speaking directly out of the mind of God. Can you imagine? You're speaking directly out of the mind of the internal one. Quite phenomenal. He would do that through people? Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. He's getting us to do that. Why? So he can bring his will and plan into the earth for humanity. He's so darn good. He's so incredible. Hallelujah. Now, he said this adoption thing is according to the good pleasure of his will. God found pleasure in making you his son. He found pleasure in it. He liked it. He didn't look and said, oh, I'm going to take those scumbags any old way. I'm just going to take them. My son's going to die for them and we'll just take them. No. He found pleasure. The things that to bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, he found pleasure in doing that for you. That's the way he is. He don't ever change. So we know that if he found pleasure in these things, would he not be working out the future to everything he can do so you can enjoy those things that he found pleasure in giving you? You know, you as parents, you don't go buy kids their toys and their stuff and you don't want them to have it. You know, sometimes we take things from them because they don't act right or do right, but we want them to have it. They make choices that it gets taken away. Well, sometimes Christians do that. Christians walk outside the blessing. And say, well, why did God allow that? Well, why did you allow it? Amen. If you'd ever been there, I can tell you what it's like. I've been there. And you just lied about it, that's all. Sometimes we get outside the blessing, don't we? Sometimes we just get assigned to something and we miss it. Hallelujah. But you know, he don't quit because his plan never changes. His plan never changes. He wants to bring blessing. And he's always trying to find some way to do it. Some way to do it. Hallelujah. To bring blessing into a person's life. It goes on. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, the riches of His grace, we find this, was abound toward us, what? In wisdom and prudence. Hallelujah. See, that's wisdom. See, God wants us to have wisdom. Why? Because He's so wise. He don't have stupid to offer anybody. He don't have something done. He doesn't have it. He has wisdom. He wants to offer to us. Hallelujah. Looking, listen, we said, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. He purposed in Himself. He said it was His good, here, good pleasure. It's a good pleasure. I want to do this. This was my pleasure. He said, my purpose to reveal to you. In other words, I'm not hiding from man. I'm not hiding what I want to bring to you. I'm not trying to take it away from you. I have looked down through time and I've seen, and this is my plan to bring all of these things to pass. You know, we just got to sort of like this thing, just stick with me, you know. I would think about with Kenneth Hagin, when he first learned about prosperity and that stuff, and him and his wife didn't have hardly two nickels to rub together, and they were just pretty well downright poor. In fact, they were probably much poorer than probably most people today that the government takes care of in poverty. They were much poorer. When he found out about prosperity, he said, you know, that his wife, he said they would go to ministers' meetings, and he said they really didn't have proper, even good, really good clothes. He didn't have a decent suit. His wife didn't have good dress to wear, and they'd go to these meetings. But he turned around and he said to his wife, he said, honey, he said, you stick with me, and he said, you'll have a mink coat for every day of the week. And he said, you can go to her closet, and said she had a mink coat for more than every day of the week. He said, you stick with me. I'm gonna take care of you. And so, and he did. Once he found out what God wanted to do. See, before that time, he didn't know God wanted to bless him. You know, they had ministers would walk around and say, we don't want none of these earthly goods. I've heard ministers say that and then press the offering plate and I didn't put nothing in because I didn't want him to have any of my earthly goods. He didn't want to give it to him. He said he didn't want them. I'm just following his faith. He didn't want them. I'll take them. See, I know people that want them and I'll give them to them. but he went on to talk about he in school he had talked about how God blessed them and he was able to bless his wife and what they would do. I mean, he ended up like in the last years of his life, he supported a lot of ministers who had retired that really didn't have much money and that stuff, and he gave a lot of money to ministers and that stuff, supported them every month. He supported a lot of ministers. He was just that kind of guy. He was blessed and he was always looking for somebody to bless. He was going to bless somebody. He was going to do it. Hallelujah. That's what we want to be, don't we? Hallelujah. Well, we sure didn't get that because we're so nice. The only reason I have that drive in me to do is because of what was put in me by my God. That's what's working in me. Our desire for good is because it came from Him. And He saw down the road. He looked down the road. Now, I'd said this last week, but I want you to understand, He's working in the same way in us. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when He left that we were going to receive the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. One of the things of the Holy Spirit is to show you what to come. What's to come? What's the purpose of that? So you can make decisions down the road. For down the road, you don't have to wait till it gets here to see what's happening. God will show you things that's happening so you can make plans before you get there. That's the nature of God, to make a plan before you get there. See, we need more of that in the church world. The church operates basically today off the band-aid. You know, they're always trying to think of something, you know, we're going to do something and here we just, now we need money for this, now we need money. But they're always doing right at the time. The thing happens. They don't see down the road. It's getting a vision down the road. That comes by the Holy Spirit. That's the nature of God, to be able to see down the road. See, people today think the prophet's ministry, waiting around for the prophet's ministry. Knock it off. God shows you down the road. All my Christian life, especially when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I could see things down the road. You want to know, you need, why? To make decisions. Isn't it better to be able to see down the road and get your decision made beforehand than it is to wait till you get there? Well, see, that's the way God operates, and He's saying, I want you to operate like I do. I want you to see down the road. And then you have ministers sitting around saying, oh, I don't believe God talks to you. I don't believe in this vision stuff. I don't believe that too. That was back there then, you know, when the last apostle died, Jesus died with them. And they're all gone. and all we're stuck with is each other. Oh, good God. If that's it, we're in trouble. If it's just us. I lived with just me for 30 years. I already had that one. But we want to see it. See, God did that for us. He gave us vision down the road. And that's what you want, the vision down the road. Why? To make decisions. And see, sometimes people see down the road and they start writing about down the road like it's today. Trying to bring down the road to pass right now. God used wisdom. See, that's where wisdom comes in. You know, don't just run off with stuff. God shows you things. Don't necessarily just go run off. It's like, well, it's today. No, many times it's down the road, showing you things to come. Hallelujah. He'll bring them to pass. He'll do those things, but he'll show you preparation time. You know, I saw this when I knew that I was going to be in the full-time ministry the night I got born again. I knew it. And I didn't have a voice tell me. I just knew it. I just knew I was going to be in the ministry. I just knew that. And Wanda knew it when she got saved. Wanda knew it right away too. Because I never told her, said anything to her. And she got born again, a couple months later, she knew the same thing, that I was going to end up being the full-time minister. Now, knowing that, I didn't try to go in the ministry. See, I watched people do this. I knew, and ones were called to the ministry. But they were called, they tried right away to get into ministry. They started, God called me. And they'd end up failing. Most of those people never got in the ministry. They tried to bring something to pass. It wasn't, you know, it's just like with me. It's, you know, there's time as anything, a preparation for things, you know. You know, the day you started a retirement account, did you try to start retirement right away? Well, that's what Christians do. God shows them something and they try to do it right away. Some things aren't for right away. You have to learn. This is where wisdom comes in, taking the time to find out, asking God about it instead of, well, I had this great idea. Ask God about it, what I ought to do. And so, see, I knew, and I knew that I was going to set myself. So there was a preparation time till it came to ministry time. One of the things that I found out was preparation time was working for somebody else, doing something for somebody else in the ministry. I found that out. You do something for somebody else in the ministry. I did a lot of different things, from working, you name it, children's ministries and youth ministry. I did all kinds of different things. Teaching adult classes, doing all kind of stuff, did those things. When the Lord sent me when I was at Rhema, in right before I graduated, and he spoke to me then at that time and said, when you leave here, I'm going to put you into your own ministry. You've been faithful with other people's. Who's ever been faithful with somebody else's? Who's going to make you ruler over your own? You see, those people were never faithful with anybody else. They're just going to run and jump into ministry. There's time and there's preparation and there's doing things. We like to get right into the thing. Our nation, the spirit in our nation is an impatient spirit that dominates. Everybody's trying to get where, it's like today they say, well, you know, people go out here and their parents worked a lifetime to get where they're at and the kids are trying to get where their parents are in 10 minutes. You know, they're trying to have the money, the cars and everything that the parents have. They're trying to have it all right now. And that's one of the greater problems we have in the American economy. It's hard to try to fix something with greedy fingers always after everything. And it is. It's hard. It's hard to keep an economy because people are out here. People always go for what they can't make work. And then the government sits out and they vote for people that tell them they're going to make it work for them. Hey, let's be honest about it. There's a lot of people at work are just as much trouble in the economy as people who don't work. You know, you think about, we talk about all the prosperity went through and everything else going on. What did people do with their money? We turn around and hit a downturn in the economy and people can't afford nothing. Oh, what did you do with the money you're making when everything was running so good, I thought? What were you doing with it? Well, where'd the money go? No, they played the whole time. Things were going good and we played the whole time. Played. And now, they're saying, well, by the way, people are using their credit card to buy food. Well, don't be surprised. They were using it for everything else. What does that surprise you? See, you, when you get over there, this is one thing. It's following the wisdom of God. Boy, staying smart. Hallelujah. One thing is, you know, that, see, the Lord's always warned me, you know, of things. You know, I knew in this year, coming into year, there was going to be things get really messed up. The Lord told me, judgment, by last June, judgment's coming. And He said this, they'll call on me and I won't answer. And I knew what was going to come, it wasn't going to get fixed. Congress can talk all they want, and the Republicans talk about all they want to fix it. I'm going to tell you, God said it ain't getting fixed. I'm taking His word and not the Republicans. They were going to fix everything, weren't they, with the election? They were going to fix it all. And we were all going to get our ukuleles out and tiptoe through the tulips together and just have ourselves a wonderful time. There's this reaping what's sowed. Hallelujah. If you've been sowing to the Spirit, you can expect blessing. Hallelujah. God will do everything He can to bless you. He'll work in His feet. I have no fear about it. God will do anything He can to bless me in this. Because see, I've been walking and, you know, I've been sowing the whole time. I've been blessing the whole time. I've been doing those things. I can turn around and come into this time, you know, and know I can walk down through here. Hallelujah. You know, might have been drought in Israel in Elijah's day, but God was feeding him right off the table of the king. Sending food right from the king's table. Hallelujah. He'll send it to me from Biden's house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's not a drought in God's kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. God take care of His. Then God sent him down. Now listen to this. In the middle of all this, Israel, you know, they're sitting around there and it's a church. God sent him down to bless a woman who was not an Israelite. Who was a heathen woman down there. Blessed her. He raised her dead son from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't surprise me if God don't send us to bless some heathens. I'll tell you what. It's getting hard to bless some Christians. They're on the wrong roads. God expects things of them, and they're on the wrong roads. Hallelujah. I've learned to follow patterns of the Word. Don't surprise me none. Hallelujah. In this day and time, God's reaching out to the heathen. And if the church don't get reaching out to the heathen, it'll be a big trouble. Hallelujah. We're not called to criticize the heathen. We're called to reach out to them. In verse 10 here, I want to read in Ephesians, and it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Now here, that word dispensation could be the word administration. In other words, the administrator or the ruler of the time. In other words, in the rule of the time, that is the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things to Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in Him. That's what's coming for us. There's everything's going to be brought together. Everything's going to come together with everything in heaven and earth is going to be one. Glory to God. I'm looking that time. You've been chosen for that. You've been chosen for your destiny. He's showing you down the road. He's telling you down the road, this is going to come. See, He purposed this in Himself. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Everything, it's all going to be one. The millennial reign is not all being one. Because in millennial reign, He has to rule with a wrought iron. That ain't all being one. But hallelujah, His people, the redeemed, that day is coming. And that's been in the purpose of God for our future. Hallelujah. And that's already set and planned. Hallelujah. Before the earth was ever conceived. Glory to God. It sounds like security to me. I guess that is that eternal security? I think we got it. Well, if you're faith in Christ, you're eternally secure. My words. He's the God did this, so we do have a security by faith. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Listen, predestined. We're predestined by this one who it says, according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That's the guy that predestined us. And given us an inheritance. That's our God. This is this all eternal one. This all knowing. Hallelujah. Folks, we haven't made in this thing. We have it made in this thing, in God's time. Hallelujah. God has set things in His time, in due season. I just want to read you from Titus 1:3. It says, Titus 1:3, Paul wrote, says, "But has in due time manifest His word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior." In due time. Did you ever think about in due time? This is one thing, is knowing God, your life. Sometimes our expectancy of ourself is not really good. You know, sometimes we think, well, we had to get to some place. God doesn't judge us like lots of times we do ourselves. You know, we sometimes have expectations of ourselves that are actually greater than really we're able to accomplish. It takes time. Like I say, in maturity, it takes time to grow up. It takes time to get ready for things. Sometimes you can see things. One of the things that I found as a young Christian, I was very hard on myself because I had an expectation that I should be doing certain things just because I knew about certain things that were revealed to me in Scripture. But that don't mean you do them just because you know about them. But I had the idea because I knew about them, I should be doing them. But I wasn't able to. It's sort of like in a trade or whatever somebody's doing. It's like sitting down. You may watch somebody sit there and say typing on a typewriter or on a computer. They're working the town. They're typing and doing the things and going, burning that thing up. And you say, oh, you're doing that? But you try to do it and it's a whole nother story, you know. And then to learning how to really do it, it takes time. Takes training to learn how to do it. Even though somebody can explain you what's done, they can tell you the positions to put your fingers in. Just they tell you that, and then you start going to town, and you misspell every word you try to do. And anyhow, but you go and do that. Well, that's but you, it takes time and it takes training. We need to know about ourselves, and God knows that. What's one thing is the Lord told me, and as a young Christian, to judge myself rightly. He said, "I don't judge you according to the flesh; I judge you according to the Spirit." Well, sometimes we judge ourselves according to more from our fleshly standpoint and our abilities rather than what, how God views us and considering our own hearts. And we need to be careful because these are places that if we're not doing, we discourage ourselves. You know, sometimes the devil is not the discourager of people. People can do really a good job themselves. You know. Then you have over on the other side, people who don't do well or not trying to do well, then we live in a society that's trying to tell everybody you're going to get a trophy. See, we run extremes on both. There's extreme. It seems there's always extremes on both sides. And majority of the people are either in that camp over here or that camp over here. And it's usually a clear run down the road down the center. There's not a lot of people on that. You ain't going to knock into anybody. People get to the extremes on either side. And so, but we need to see with ourselves. We need to be careful about ourselves. We can bring, you know, the devil is one who will try to bring condemnation, but we can bring condemnation upon ourselves by expecting of ourselves what we're not able to do. Expecting it. And you have to say, this is one thing is knowing God. I don't believe you can really know yourself if you don't learn to hook up with God. You don't really get a clear picture of yourself. You don't see yourself. Because in everything, I believe, would come down, there was a right time. There's a right time to step into things as is finding it out. One of the things that I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, he said, I am slow, he said to, in fact, the Lord told him this. Jesus told him in one of the visions. He said, I'd rather have you be a little slow in following me than getting fast and get out ahead. Because he said, you get out fast ahead of me. And he said, I'm heading a different direction. And he said, you're still going down the road there. He said, you don't see me or what I'm doing. And see, I think a lot of times that people do. They get out there and they get running. Because sometimes it's taught. Well, if God tells you, you know, there's things you might have to do, God tells you to do right away. But there's a lot of things in life. It ain't like that. It's you slowly work into. And the Lord said, I'd rather have you be slow in stepping in. Because he said, you can always get direction on what you're supposed to do. You don't have to just jump. We have this thing, we just got to right jump into it. That God's this guy, you got to make this happen. I'm sorry. He's already set this all down the road. He knows exactly what decisions he's going to make. He already knows what he's going to do. He knows what you're going to do. None of this is throwing him at all. None of this. He knows what all is going on. He knows what he needs to try to work in you to bring things around to where he knows what he got to do. He got to know there's things, you know, there's some things in our lives And everybody has this. There's some things we're very slow to move around into. We're slow to step off into. We might be really slow on some things and others. There might be others we step into much quicker and that. God knows all that about us. He knows what he has to work and take time with us on and what he don't. He knows. Thank God. Hallelujah. Just like we learn to know people like that. There's people you gotta get in motivating them early on certain things. You gotta do them. That's what you learn about people and how they are about things, how they do. You learn that. Well, how much more God? What does he know? See, we need to be very careful. We're in a day and time with a lot going on, and we can sit around and look at it as like, well, is God mad at everybody about what's going on in America? Is he mad at everyone? Well, if he is, he ain't going to get much done. Might as well just blow it up and let's leave. But that's not his plan. Hallelujah. He saw this day. You know what? And I believe we're in a due season time. I believe we're in a due season time. I believe in the middle because we as a people, especially as Christians, but people in general in the earth, there needs to always be a time, and it seems that God does, is he sort of yanks everything back to a place where it holds it. You got to stop and start checking some things out. Because people get over into things. We're today, the church world is trying to fix problems they can't fix. They're trying to do things, but they're trying to do without God. Is God nervous? No, he has a plan to work. He has a plan to do something, and you know what? He's going to do it. I mean, it's just like we read during the beginning. He said, he declares a thing for the beginning, from the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Hallelujah! He's going to do it! Hallelujah! I'll tell you, we've had both feet on the brake. But God's going to do it. And see, that's where we can trust as a fact of is, if we're trusting in our abilities, it's the wrong place. It's not going to work. If, you know, there's almost we got to do everything right for him to do something. Well, I'll just tell you this, if that was true, it ain't going to get done. Let's just forget it. I gotta meet the dude that's gonna do everything right. I gotta meet him. Dear Lord, we're gonna start a worship service for him. Because there ain't. If anything I've noticed about God lately is coming to the point saying, God, ain't nothing we can do unless if you gotta get in the middle of what we're doing. We gotta see whatever you're up to. We ain't gonna make this thing work. People keep throwing their stuff at it, but we can't do it. And the only people that are having success are the people who are saying, hey, we need to go and follow God. Cause we're not going to win the argument online. You're not going to win the argument. Forget it. You ain't going to win the argument between the conservatives and the liberals. Ain't either, none of them going to win nothing. They ain't going to win the argument. They've been arguing now for how many years? And the Republicans are sitting to look and say, how can't people see how bad is going on, what's is going on? You know why? Because they haven't been talking everything's bad for the last 5 years. You have, and you think it's bad because you have been screaming it's bad. You have what you say. See, you keep saying everything's bad all the time. Everything's bad all the time. Eventually, you'll be everything's bad all the time. That's what you're going to do. You ain't going to have nothing good to say about nothing. You know, I get an email yesterday from our representative from Washington to tell me about the border problem. I know about it. Don't send me an email. Do something. What are you sending me an email complaining what Biden's doing? We know that. God! Not a thing he did or gonna do it. No, we're just gonna keep running. I can't stand it. Like me sending him a check is gonna change it? I can't believe him. What does me sending him money have to do anything with it? Nothing. But he builds up a nice fund so when he retires, he can take all that money that he got from for campaigning. He can take it home with him. Oh, yeah. Do you see what some bundles of money some of these people have had from this last election asking for money and still have millions and millions in their chest, did not spend, but were asking for money for their campaigns. And have millions and millions in their chest. And if they retire, they can take all that with them. It's ridiculous. Asking me for money to tell me the border's bad. I'd have told him, my God, just listen to Fox or maybe Newsmax. They'd have told you that. They'll tell you that every day. I don't need an email from you. And they, at least they didn't ask me for money. That's why I like to talk to God. Hallelujah. He's become the only sane one in the bunch. He's the best ruler I know. It's like, dear God. See, I need to hear from heaven. I need some good news. Hallelujah. And this is good news. It's one of the things we're looking at here today. This is all these things that we look here in Scripture. This is God's plan for your life. These are the things that He has set in motion in time. And we have come to the time that we're the people of this age when Christ came. And we're the people of this age. We're over on the side of the resurrection. We're the people, the fulfillment of these words. This is what God's planned for you. In Ephesians, I read 3 through 11. This is God's will toward you. This is what He's done. This is what He's looking toward you. This was the time that was set. Hallelujah. We're going to look at some other things as we go along in here. God set in time. Hallelujah. Of where we are, what are we supposed to be doing today in the time period, this where we're at right now? See, I believe there's things that must do. People are talking about, well, you want to pray, you want to move with the Spirit. Well, you can pray, but I believe doing is one of the things that I see. I see ministries that are doing things that are causing move of the Spirit. You can pray all you want, but there's things you do. There is no need. You know, here's one thing as it is the Bible tells us, you know, clearly, when Jesus, before He left, He told them to go preach the word. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. And then it ends up with, well, they went out and preached everywhere with the signs following. It didn't say they went out and prayed everywhere and the signs showed up. Don't say that. The signs follow the word. Now, I believe in praying. Praying is fine. But I tell you, we have the idea that we're just going to pray everything in and we're going to pray. I'm finding out this out with ministries where demonstrations, God's moving because they're doing what the Word said. And we need to come to that where Christians come to the point, we got to start doing the Word. We got to change our heart about the world and the people in it. We got to want them saved instead of criticizing them all the time. We got to want to bring them to Jesus. You know, we got to preach for people that God already knows to the fact that they're not going to accept the gospel. But He will send somebody to preach to them. He will. You need to understand this about God. When God speaks to us in the earth, He speaks on our terms, not His. God very seldom ever speaks to us from an eternal perspective. Do you ever think about this? I've often wondered about it. I never heard anybody ever preach or ever talk about these things, but I used to always wonder about it. God comes down, Adam sins. God comes down, and he's on the earth. Here He is down here in the cool of the day. And He says, where are you, Adam? Like He didn't know. What did He do? He's talking to Adam on Adam's terms. See, He could have came down. He showed up down. He could have talked from heaven. Said, you buzzard, you. You're down there, ate the fruit. Boy, are you in trouble. No, He comes down to Adam, on Adam's, He talks to Adam, and this is phenomenal. He talks like he's on terms with Adam. He don't talk like he's God, talking goo goo god. Since He is, because He's down here now, talking to Adam like He's talking to a regular man, like He's a man talking to a man. He's talking, God speaks as if He don't know everything. And I found this out. He's still doing that to us. And we think, oh, we're just so genius. And we don't realize he's talking to us down here onto our level. He doesn't speak. He talks to us sometimes like he doesn't know. I found the things that God would talk to me about things as if he didn't know something. And he knew it the whole time. What he's getting me to do is to talk about it. He's getting me to admit things. That's what he wants to do. But he's talking to us. He talks to us in our level. He communicates in a way. And you know, his wisdom is he understands he needs to do that. He's phenomenal what he does. We look through the scriptures and people look at prophecy. And they look, God talks at prophecy as like he's going to do something now as if like he hadn't planned it. This is his plan now. You know what? He already knew before the ages, the conceiving of the earth, he was going to do that. He knew that. But he's speaking to man in his time. He's speaking to where man can understand it. And we need to understand these things about God. He's absolutely incredible what he does. And see, people see with God knows things, and a lot of time try to bring God over to being like us, make him one of us. But I'm going to tell you, he's God. He's phenomenal. You know, it's like I said last year, I've often wondered about you. And Kenneth Hagin got caught up to heaven, you know, 18 feet away from the throne, and Jesus says to him, don't look on his face. I thought, my God, what is this being that's our daddy? What is this being? And he decided to be our daddy. He made us his sons. My God. What is this being that he so loved the world? My God. Hallelujah. He has wonderful plans for us, and he's going to help us fulfill them. We need him too, and he will. He's going to help us fulfill his will and bring to pass, and we need his glory in operation and manifestation. It will be done in no other manner. It won't be done, but it will be done. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's already set it in motion before the foundation of the world. Before it was conceived. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning. I am so grateful to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, that you haven't hid anything from us. Hallelujah. Lord God, I'm sure there's things we've hid from ourselves, maybe, because of not maybe walking in the light always we should, but you never quit on us. Your intent's always for good. Your intent is to bless. Your intent, Lord God. And I just want to thank you. Father, with all your wisdom and understanding of the past, present, and future, Lord, some of these things can just be hard for the mind to grab around and to hold around on. But Lord God, our hearts rejoice in having a God that we can trust. That is so phenomenal, that is so out there, that is so beyond the comprehension of natural thinking. Lord God, that truly, I don't think there's enough words to say enough good things in our languages down here about you. Hallelujah. I think sometimes, Lord, we just need to praise you in tongues because, Lord God, on this earth, it just seems, Lord, sometimes, Lord God, even when we worship and sing songs to you, my heart just is like, we just got to be able to go further. That Lord, our heart wants to reach out to something greater, to worship you, to bring praise to you, because you're so incredible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, I just want to thank you for simply the fact that you saved me. Lord God, that your wrath is not on my life, your blessing is. How phenomenal. Lord God, and my heart goes out to people, Lord, because there's so many. The wrath is abiding on them. But Lord God, you don't take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. You take no pleasure in those things. You want to bless them too. And Lord God, I'm just praying today, Lord God, teach us to walk in your will. Lord, if any time and any place in human history the church needs to be a blessing, it's today. We need to be a blessing to this world. Lord, not a curse to this world. Oh, Lord, I know that there's ones who think they think we're a curse because we don't go along with their lives and whatever they want to live and do. We know, Lord God, that even though they live in sin, but Lord God, we're going to walk in love. Lord, and we're going to love them. Hallelujah. And our desire is going to be, Lord God, to see them saved, to become children of God. And Father God, whether they accept it or not, we're still going to walk in love. Hallelujah. We're still going to love, Lord God. Because God, you change not. You change not. Hallelujah. You love them no matter what. And I just want to thank you, Lord God. We want to walk like you. We want to be a blessing in this earth. We want your goodness and mercy to be poured out, Lord God. Lord, I want you to bless others. Hallelujah. You can bless them beyond what you've ever blessed me. And I would cheer for you on it. Hallelujah. I would be so glad to bless humanity because, Lord God, I'm so blessed as it is. Hallelujah. What a future that you've given us, Lord God. Hallelujah. So thank you, Father. Fathers, we leave here today. We leave here blessed. We leave here with a faith in God, a God of truly is a God of mercy, kindness, and love. Hallelujah. A God who is absolutely brilliant. Lord God, your wisdom is beyond measure. Hallelujah. But you reached out and you said to man, I want you. It's beyond me, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you. Thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you opened up the hearts of your people to see, oh, hallelujah, to see you in your fullness and in your glory. Lord God, that they will trust you, that there'll be no doubt in their minds, Lord God, of your goodness and mercy toward them. Lord God, that you will do anything, Lord God, to bring blessing to them. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you will work anything, Lord God, you can do, that you can show your goodness and mercy. Father, and your kindness that you've given to us in Christ Jesus. So we thank you today. Hallelujah. And we can say, truly, we are blessed. We are a blessed people of a blessed family. Hallelujah. With a blessed Father. Glory to God. Thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.